No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome to the post-derby edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, and I'm still coming down a little bit from a great week in Louisville. I tell you, the weather broke just right, and I had great seats at the derby. Just very briefly, a couple of quick stories. I was on the new Grandstand Terrace, is where I have ultimately ended up on Derby Day, and it was great. Pat Day, the jockey, was up there and got to shake hands with him. And I've published some pictures on LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City, my website. Encourage you to go there, take a look at that, and just marvel at all the great stuff. Some of the great people I met up there were, they were from out of town, and hopefully you guys are, have become lifelong fans of the Rusty Satellite Show. This week, as you know, this is a show about the most interesting people in the Ville, and this week, I guess first I should thank my Derby-related guests of the last couple of weeks. There was Tim Laird, America's CEO, we had on. We had Daryl Hare representing the Jockeys Guild. And if you remember, Daryl told us one of the best jockey stories was about Espinoza, the jockey on California Chrome who won. And that was great. So you had a clue. I of course, did not bet the horse. And, shame on me for that. But anyway, we also had Darren Rogers of Churchill Downs media department on the show. And so now we're shifting gears, going in a new direction of more most interesting people in the Ville. And my two guests this week are in the second half of the show. We're going to have I was really kind of thrilled about having this guy on. It's Corky Miller. He's the 38-year-old catcher for the Louisville Bats, and he's a very interesting story. He's getting ready to break and one of the Louisville franchise's all-time record for games played, and is very popular around Slugger Field. So stay tuned for that, but first I'm going to have a young man that's 30 years old. His name is Aaron Yarmuth. And yes, he is the son of the congressman. And a week ago or so, it was announced that he had purchased Leo Weekly. And that's big news. It brings the newspaper into local ownership again. The newspaper was started in 1990 by his father, John Yarmuth, went on to become a noted congressman. But John, when he was here, I loved reading his weekly column. And so I'm going to ask Aaron a little bit about that. You might have seen, if you get a chance, in Insider Louisville, I did basically excerpts from this interview. And you're welcome to go read that at Insider Louisville. But one of the things that Aaron, before we start the interview, one of the things Aaron and I talked about was golf. He has been raised as a golfer. If you read John's columns throughout the years, you know that he and Aaron played a lot of golf together. Aaron is apparently really good. He told me he's going next week to a U.S. Open qualifier in the region, and his, amazingly, his dad, John, is going to be his caddy for that. So what a great father-son experience that will be for both, I suppose, especially if Aaron plays well. But speaking of golf, I'm going to sneak in a quick story because I had one of those thrills of a lifetime last Sunday playing at Charlie Vetner. I was on the eighth hole, which for those of you who could picture holes in your head and know the course, it's sort of a thin, flat fairway, rises up to a elevated green. And, you know, I hit a drive that left me 90 yards to the hole. And, you know, I had a pitching wedge out, and it's you got to hit it really high. And then when the ball lands, you can't see really what happens because, you know, the angle is such that you really can't see. You hit it up there and you hope something good happens. So anyway, I hit my shot, and I hit it pretty good. I thought, well, that's pretty close to the hole probably. And but I got up there, and you know, the story is, I've been telling it, you know, I was so mad when I got up to the green because I couldn't see my ball. And you know, I've just assumed it went over the back. I must have hit it too hard. I went back there. There's some fringe with some really thick grass behind it. I said, golly, I guess it went in here. And I spent a few minutes looking in there, and then I called up. I was playing with my girlfriend Paula, and I went up to the front and I looked there, and I didn't see the ball. And finally, I'm walking across the green, walked by the pin, and I saw a ball mark a few feet away from the hole. And I said, oh, well, I guess I'll just take a look to make sure. And I took two steps back and looked down, and there was my ball inside the hole. Had an eagle too. I don't know. I think I've had an eagle before in my life, but they're few and far between. And when you play a lot of golf, and I try to play, you know, once a week or so, it's a big thrill. Believe me, it's a big thrill to get an eagle and knock one in from 90 yards out. So, anyway, that's my golf story, and would have shared that with Aaron. I'm sure he would have gotten a kick out of it. But I talked to him on Oaks Day, as a matter of fact, and went down to his Waterfront Park Place apartment. It's a beautiful place that he lives, and just wanted to get to know Aaron. I'd never met him before, and was really impressed with what he had to say and where he seems to be taking the newspaper. So here's my interview with Aaron Yarmuth.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
And the Rusty Satellite Show comes to you from High and Waterfront Park Place this morning with Aaron Yarmuth, the new owner, publisher of Leo Weekly and InFocus Magazine. Aaron, thanks for having me over.
Thanks for coming.
It's very exciting news. Took a lot of people by surprise this week that you are basically taking over the publication your father started back in 1990. Tell me a little bit about how it came about.
Well, surprise would be the right word, because I was as surprised as anyone. It all started through conversations I had with a colleague, a woman who I serve with on a board, and she's a tremendous friend and ally and a force in this community. But that was really just to help start conversations on where we might find some really interested, good potential owners for Leo, and particularly someone local, and then someone who would support the mission and the spirit of the publication. And that was about a month ago, maybe a little bit over a month, and really it just I gave them some names, which didn't include myself. This wasn't the Dick Cheney vice presidential search committee, but it came full circle and became something that not only could I do, but I was really interested in pursuing. And so there was no grand plan or strategy to take over this publication, but it you know, sort of serendipitous.
Okay. Now, for our listeners who don't know, you're 30 years old. You're a young man. You've got you're local. You grew up at Country Day. You went to IU. You got a master's degree. Your father happens to be a congressman, and the founder of the paper. What kind of influence did he have on this decision?
You know, the first time I spoke with him, he said, you know, I will try to remain as dispassionate when giving you advice, if you trust it and if you are seeking it. but it's going to be very hard for me to not stay, for me to remain unbiased, because there would obviously be an emotional connection. And he gave me some very sound advice. He sat down with the existing publisher, Dave Brennan, and really got a good handle on the state of the paper, where it's been and where it is now, and some of the potential going forward. And we had just a very good, open, candid conversation, and which culminated in, you know, there will be some awkwardness with he being in Congress and Leo seeking to challenge mm-hmm. its elected officials. And but I told them then, and I told the staff when I met them, that the only way that they can ever get in trouble with me is if they pulled a punch. My dad quickly reminded me that he gave Daesh his start at Leo, and mm-hmm. He is by no means a liberal force in the community.
Right, you mean John David,
David Daesh,
the conservative columnist.
Absolutely.
Okay, now your father had a great reputation. I think he was, you know, maybe one of the last great columnists in this city. And so the first question that a lot of people thought when they heard this is, when is Aaron going to start his column just like his dad's?
You know, it's there is a romantic side of me that wants to do that and take that role back. I think that it's a little bit premature to commit to that. There are a number of things that are real high priorities that I think my focus should really be on, but I'm definitely not short of opinions. I love this town. I think it is unique in so many ways, but there are also some troubling aspects and areas that, you know, I think we can do better. And whether it's local or national or international, I think that I at least would hope that I could contribute a voice and just something that could stir the pot a little bit.
Okay. And well, what's the plan in terms of your role? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you have a business, or mm-hmm. And please tell me about that. But I mean, Monday you're going to go into work, I guess, down there. I don't know. How will you? I know with the existing staff and all mm-hmm. that. How do you see your role developing there?
Yeah, this will be a very uninteresting broad answer, but I want to be very engaged, and I think that my role for the first 6 weeks will be different than the next 6 months and evolving from there, but I do want to be intimately involved. But I told the staff that I kind of see myself as an enabler. I want to be there to give them more tools, more resources, and give them direction whenever possible. But they're the pros, and you know, they're the true heart and soul of Leo, and so I really want to turn them loose, and if anything, just, you know, get them to be a little bit more edgy.
Right. Right. Well, content-wise, I'm certain, and it wouldn't be Leo without that edge. Although, you know, I've been a critic in the past, and you know about, you know, Leo's history of joining the online world. You know, they seemed stuck sort of mm-hmm. When the internet came around, and you know, I was a writer there, do you as a young modern entrepreneur, you have plans for the electronic version of Leo?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the first real investment that I want to make. I've already had some great meetings with some real in the weeds tech folks in town, some great groups, and it is amazing who some of these organizations that are in Louisville that, you know, seem like they should be in Austin or Denver or San Francisco, but some really high end talent. And we're going to work with one of the firms to not just give them a laundry list of things that we want, but really seek out what Leo readers are looking for. Because when it comes down to it, it truly is all about them. And You know, it is a point of pride for the community, so it's going to be targeted to their wants. That being said, I see media as a whole as one big grab for attention, and that goes for print, online, television. You're really always fighting to get in front of the consumer, and sometimes that's for 40-second consumption. And the truth of it is that now, because of digital technology, there are no local media outlets. We're competing for Louisville's eyeballs with Facebook, BuzzFeed, Deadspin, New York Times, Courier, and maybe even the San Francisco Chronicle, there, because it's so easily accessible. So not only are you competing for that attention, those outlets are, they're hitting their viewers in the face. They, you know, they're popping up on their phones, their iPads, and Leo doesn't do that. And I think it's great that you can just walk into, you know, North End or Hillbilly Tea on your way to brunch and pick up a Leo, but that's not the way most people consume right. their media. And so, without question, you know, we have to be in your face, and it suits us to be in your face.
Okay, so there will be changes on the electronic side of Leo.
Absolutely.
Now let me ask you, your purchase includes another publication, In Focus, which is sure. you know, the sort of competitor to the Voice Tribune, I guess, and Society News and all that. Mm-hmm. Was that just come along with a package, or you got real plans for that?
Yeah, it was a package deal. Now that said, there, Southcom was willing to sell them separately. I just thought that with the ability to share some of the resources, and In Focus, I'm a casual consumer of In Focus. I will be much more diligent in my consumption now, but. It's a really strong publication, and I think that it has a really important place in this community. And I thought that when given some of the same resources and investments that we're talking about with Leo, that it could really be an important publication and something that has potential for real growth. Laura Snyder, who is the current editor, she's got an enormous heart and passion for the publication. She's got a vision for where she'd like to take it, which she was never really afforded the opportunity before. Okay. And I really want to give her the opportunity to.
Well, we all know that you know, media operations, they need resources, because what they need is people to put out this edgy stuff. You can be as edgy as you want, but if you only got two guys working on it, you know, it's not going to happen, right? So, anything you can say now about staffing at this point?
I would love the opportunity. I think, especially as we make these investments in digital and online tools, that'll afford us a number of opportunities to be more creative. And I think that there will be opportunities in the future to make some staff, additions there. At the moment, though, and I will make no bones about it, the paper is not. It wasn't like a cash cow. This was not printing money. So this will not be a serious money making endeavor for me. I like my dad always told me, don't work your entire life for free. He said, I've done it and it sucks. You know? but we I think the staff I've met with them once. They all seemed relieved. Really excited, and I really want to see with that, you know, how much they're willing to go the extra mile, and really now that they've got direction and an enabler in chief, I guess where we can take it before we again make these tactical additions.
All right, well, we're out of time, Aaron. I think I'll join with your staff and say that everybody's very excited about the new direction of Leo there, and you got some work cut out for you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, but my dad said there's, you know, after the outpouring of support, said, no pressure.
So no pressure, you. Just that's, make it work.
That's all I needed. Yeah, exactly.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, and welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. Appreciate Aaron Yarmouth for hosting me on such short notice, and with a lot going on in his life and my life and Derby Week and all that. So I really appreciate his candor. Told me some stuff that the story's really gotten a lot of play on Insider Louisville. So anyway, check that out. And now we move on to the part of the show where I talk about some of the things that are going on in our region that are of interest to. So hopefully to you and other people in Louisville, it is the most interesting people in the Ville. And one of those I'm going to try to get on in the next few weeks is Jack Conway. And if you don't know Jack Conway, he's our attorney general. He's from Louisville. And he announced this week that he is going to be running for governor with another Central Kentucky woman, Sani Overly. And this is sort of big news. A lot of people expected Conway to run. Crit Llewellyn was announced a few weeks ago that she would not be running on the Democratic side. So we're setting up. This is a 2015 race. You know, there is a primary on May 20th, and there's a lot going on with that. But Conway announced chose now to announce on YouTube. He put out a YouTube video talking about his campaign and what he hopes to accomplish. And so he is the first Democrat in the ring. I expect that Adam Edlin, the state auditor, is a likely candidate, and not sure. You know, there could be others that jump in that race for that would be the Democratic primary next May. And of course, you know, on the Republican side is another Louisville, you know, Hal Heiner, a former Metro councilman who had a failed bid for mayor against Greg Fisher, has announced he wants to be governor. So he's announced I'm sure he's going to get some competition too. But that was the big political news this week, was that that Conway is definitely in. I Conway's struggle is going to be out in the state. He chose he made a wise choice of running mate, a woman with ties in Central Kentucky. But it'll be interesting to see how the anti-Louisville bias out in the state reflects on Conway's run. He did win a statewide race for attorney general, and I'll be anxious to talk to him. I hope we can get him here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Hal Heiner on the Republican side also has that anti-Louisville bias to fight. So anyway, that's the first story of the week. Now, I'm recording this on Wednesday afternoon, and there's some news just in on a story that we've sort of been following around here, and it's a statewide story. It's about a state representative, John Arnold, who was accused of sexual harassment by some of his employees, or some of the employees in Frankfort, where he was working. And if you remember, about a month or so ago, the Legislative Ethics Commission met, and they voted 4-1 to find him guilty, but it required 5 votes, and 3 of the commissioners at that time were absent, and there was a lot of controversy over why those people were absent. Well, I guess they basically called a do-over in this case, it looks like. The commission met today, and I guess they had enough people there to get the votes needed. They called in the witnesses and had them retestify. They did the whole thing over, because you understand this ethics commission has gotten a lot of criticism over the last month over its deliberations. It seems like the evidence is pretty solidly against Representative Arnold. So I'm not sure what the consequences are. This is sort of a breaking story, just happened, but they did convict him. They found him guilty of ethics code violations. And, you know, it's a serious reprimand, and it will involve it has – the case itself has caused a lot of change in the way the way they do things up in Frankfurt, and especially as it relates to women in the workplace and sexual harassment. So from all I've read, I certainly believe that Arnold should have been found guilty. Now, I don't know what the penalty could be, could possibly be. He's already, according to news reports, he's suffering from health problems and dementia and all that. We talked about last week, old guys doing the wrong thing because they, you know, don't realize sometimes the things that they do or say, i.e. Donald Sterling in the NBA, really cause problems for the modern workplace. They just don't fit in. So that, I think that's what's happened to this guy. I think justice has been served here, and they found him guilty today. Now, another story that came out today is near and dear to my heart, is about biking. And if you remember way back in the early days of the Rusty Satellite Show, we had Kirk Candle on the show, and he is basically a bicycling advocate. I really admire him. He rides his bike from like 14 miles and back to work every day. But the reason he wrote this piece in the Courier Journal was that there was a study that showed Kentucky ranked 48th among 50 states in friendliness to bicycles, and the ranking is based on programs, how many bikeways you have, and a lot of different factors. But we all know, those of us who ride bikes around the city, there is unfortunately an underlying antagonism between a lot of motorists and cyclists, and it's not easy to get around by bike. If you've been to other cities, it's a lot easier there. I tell you, I get out sometimes. I go up Westport Road and go right around Westport Village. Now, there's a bike lane on Westport Road that's pretty good, but getting in and out of the traffic and all that is very difficult, and you get honked at, and it's kind of tough going sometimes. So I would urge you to read Kirk's piece in the Courier Journal. You might want to re-listen to the Rusty Satellite Show that Kirk was on, and just understand, some of the things that it would be great if the city had more of, like, taking short trips by bike instead of, if you're going to a place a mile away, why not ride a bike there instead of driving? Well, a lot of people say, because I'm afraid I'm going to get hit by a car. And I think motorists and cyclists alike should be a little more considerate of the other and be a little more alert on the road. So I know I've been sort of guilty of weaving in and out of traffic and maybe missing a red light or going through sometimes. But there's a lot of reasons that more bike riding in the city would be good. And speaking of health and the environment, a couple of other stories making the news in the region. First of all, the Louisville Metro Council has voted to ban plastic bags. Now, this affects homeowners out there, and I know it affects a lot of people, and they haven't set a date that this is going to be effective, but soon you won't be able to stuff your yard waste, your grass clippings, your leaves and stuff, into a plastic bag and set it out on the curb and hope the people that come and pick up recycling stuff will take it away. The plastic bags are have been determined a no-no, and like it or not, this is a change that's coming. A lot of people resist these types of things because they've been doing it that way for a long time. But if you really read the science and you understand what's going on, I think it's a good thing. I think it's something that We've got to do everything we can to protect the environment. There was a story in the Courier Journal this week about climate change. The President Obama released a report this week on climate change, and I know it's become such a hot political issue the cliches or it seems to be set up so that Republicans deny the science that says our climate is changing and we should be worried and we should make changes to protect the environment, and that global climate change is really happening as a real thing. It goes against some business interests to do the right thing and protect the planet. Now, Democrats, and it's also something that Republicans can oppose President Obama on. I know Mitch McConnell's already come out with a statement criticizing the president for paying attention to this. You know, I think in the long term, you know, those guys are going to be proven to be on the wrong. And hopefully some of the steps that the president has taken nationally, the story that came out in the Courier said that, you know, basically that Kentucky was, you know, not in as much danger as, say, coastal cities or some other parts of the country in the effects in feeling the effects of climate change. But it's true. We do experience more weather events than we used to 20 years ago. There are more tornadoes, torrential rains, different types of weather events, and they can be attributed to climate change. And if you're a denier, then I'm sorry. I think you're just hoping to die before the effects of climate change happen. The science is real, and it's hard for me to sort of really stomach the opinions of those that just say it's not something that we should worry about, we shouldn't do anything. So anyway, there's my soapbox on that. Let me get on to my next guest, and I'll tell you, I went down to Slugger Field the other day, and it was the day, and let me tell you, I was going east on Market Street toward the ballpark, and you got to turn a left there at I think it's Jackson to get into the ballpark, and I ended up about 4 or 5 blocks before that turn behind this really loud car, and it was right directly in front of me. It was a Lamborghini. It had Florida plates, and I thought, why is a Lamborghini doing in the middle of downtown Louisville with Florida plates on it? Well, the car turned just like I did, and found a place to park in the parking lot. I found out, of course, it was the day that Aroldis Chapman of the Cincinnati Reds was making a rehab start here, and it was his car. So, anyway, the things you see when you drive around downtown. I really, really enjoyed going down to meet Corky Miller. I got to go down on the field during batting practice, and my friends that have followed the Louisville Bats for a long time, everybody knows who Corky is because he's been around so long, and is sort of an interesting figure on the field. He does have what's been called the most, the best facial hair in baseball. And we talk about that a little bit. His mustache. There was a promotion last week at the ballpark. 1,500 T-shirts with Corky's mug on them and Fear the Stash were given out at Slugger Field. Very successful promotion. And I just wanted to get down and talk to Corky. He's climbing up the career ladder for Louisville minor league baseball in a number of different categories, but he's only like 4 games away from the all-time games played record by a minor leaguer in Louisville. And there, believe me, there are few, if any, 38-year-old minor league baseball players, but Corky is he's just got a great attitude. He's a great guy, and he's great for the city and great for the team. And I just wanted to talk to him. So anyway, I went down to Slugger Field, and here's our interview. And today I'm in Slugger Field with Corky Miller, the man that brought all the excitement of Fear the Stash. Corky, welcome to the show, and I just wondered what you think of all the what I would call newfound popularity this year.
I wouldn't call it newfound. I've been here 10 years, so it's a lot of work. I've had to put a lot of work in to get to where I'm at now. It's great. Louisville's always been great to me. It's a great town. Our fans are awesome, and me being here for about 15 years with the Bats and other teams, I've had a lot of people come up to me and said they used to watch me play when they were kids. And, yeah. They're 22, 23 now, but I've been here a long time, and it's been fun.
Yeah, believe me, I remember. I've been following the team for a long time, but so you had this promotion last Friday, Fear the Stash. What do you think of all that? Yeah, I guess you got a bunch of T-shirts, right?
No, I had to fight the front office for about 10 of them. you know, because they were afraid to give me any because of the people, fans might get upset that they didn't get one. But, yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, anytime that I could help get people to the field, and that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, certainly, I'm certain your popularity brings a lot of people out to the ballpark. You're coming up on a big record pretty soon, the all-time total number of games played record here on the Louisville franchise. Is that something you really look forward to, you're excited about?
It's early in the season, so, you know, obviously I would hope I could play five more games. but, yeah, you know, I met Billy Lyons a handful of times last year. He was out here, and you know, obviously you'd rather have a record in the big leagues, but if you're going to have it, this is the only place I'd pick to do that.
Well, great. Well, I mean, you're 38, an age where anybody usually wants to stay in baseball. They're already coaching or doing something besides playing. What do you credit your longevity to?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to ask the people that keep giving me jobs, you know. You know, the Reds have been good to me. Louisville has been good to me, and you know, if they said if I could still catch and I could still play, and you know, I couldn't tell you how I've stayed healthy this long, or you know, not had any serious injuries. But you know, just the love of coming out here playing every day.
Well, I was reading where you know, obviously, I guess every year, but even now more so, you don't know when the season ends if you're going to have a job next year playing, right? So was there some anxiety last year? Did you think that might have been it?
No, you know, I've been prepared for that for the last six, 7 years. You know, everybody asks me when I'm going to coach, when I'm going to stop playing. And, you know, last year I thought I wasn't going to come back. But, you know, we talked and we had lengthy discussions between me and Brian Price and Walt, and we all decided that, you know, it'd be best if I came back and played.
Well, cool. And I guess you got the same sort of decision after this season, or are you?
You know,
sure yet?
Whatever they decide, you know, if you know, like, you know, I was prepared to coach this year.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure that we'll have a better understanding why we'll be a little bit later on in the season, and you know, but I'm prepared to do whatever is best for me and my family.
Sure, sure. Now, you have been up to the show a few times, of course. And give me an idea what the difference is for a player between being in Louisville and being in Cincinnati.
Paychecks. Paychecks are a lot better. You know, everything is easier as far as travel. Getting ready for the games, the clubhouses, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, obviously they're top tier players up there, so sometimes on the field it can be a little bit harder, but you know, then again, you got guys that you got scouting reports on, and down here we don't have that many scouting reports. You know, the days are longer, the travel, you know, we got off a 10-hour bus ride Sunday morning, or you know, Monday morning. So, and then we're going to have another couple like that where we leave after the game and don't get in until 10 o'clock in the morning. That's probably the biggest difference.
And the majors, you just got somebody get your stuff and get on a plane, right?
That's right.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, you're, you know, people that follow baseball always compare you to, and now you hear about the movie Bull Durham and compare you to Crash Davis. Are there similarities there, or do you like or not like that kind of
thing? It doesn't bother me one way or the other. You know, I don't have the home runs that he has. I think that would be help for Mike Cashman, who was bat last year. You know, he's got the one with 400-plus homers.
Right.
You know, the only similarity is that, you know, he was a catcher and playing in Double-A when he was old. And, you know, I'm old, but, you know, catching in Triple-A, and, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, these young guys must – I'm sure they look up to you. They're probably razz you a little bit about it.
Not really. I think they're scared to do that. You know?
Maybe I should be scared to ask the question. I don't know. But I do know. You know, I've read baseball people talk about, you know, one reason you're here is to mentor young catchers, young pitchers, right?
Yeah.
And are there any pitchers that you've seen? I know Aroldis Chapman is in town. You know, is that different? Being that much, is he that much faster than the other guys?
Yeah, he throws harder, but you know, when I had him here when he first came and he was starting, He was still throwing hard, and he just didn't have command of his fastball as much. Now, if there was no radar gun and no batter, then it would look 90 to me, you know, because he throws it around where he wants it to be. You know, the only time it becomes a factor is where he doesn't throw it close, you know, where he bounces one or throws one high. You know, you just don't have the reaction time to, you know, stop those balls. But, you know, he's done a great job. You know, we talked about it a few years ago, you know, how he's going to get to the big leagues, when he's going to get there, what's he going to do when he gets there. And, you know, it was a good conversation, and, you know, he's where he is now.
Yeah. So just for seeing yourself, you know, say you don't get offered a playing contract, have you got your career mapped out as a coach? Are you sure to do that? Or
I would imagine. I don't know what's going to be available, you know. There's things that I'd like to do, but I'm going to approach it the same I did my playing careers, you know, go as hard as I can and do the best I can, you know, wherever I'm at or whatever they're asking me to do.
So the let me ask you, as we wrap up here, I want to ask you about the mustache. You've had it, like, for when's the last time you didn't have it?
I think 2009 was the first year. I was with the White Sox, and I shaved it going into that season. I didn't have it, you know, when I played with Atlanta.
You done did spring.
You know, I shaved it when I went to new teams, and then when I got traded back up back here, we didn't have we had no facial hair policy in 2009, so I had to shave it. And since then, they've changed it, so I haven't shaved it since then.
Yeah, well, certainly brought you a lot of attention and notoriety, I guess.
Right.
So, all right. Well, Corky, I'll let you go here, but thanks for spending a few minutes with
thank
me.
Thank you. No problem.
Look forward to seeing you break that record.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, that was fun. Corky's probably a man of fewer words than a lot of our Rusty Satellite guests, but really admire what he's done and what he means to Louisville and the Louisville Bats. He's really a great ambassador. So interesting to learn about those those 10-hour minor league baseball bus rides. Wow. Must be tough. But anyway, thanks to Corky and thanks to Aaron Yarmouth for appearing on the show. I tell you, I'm getting a lot of momentum for the Rusty Satellite Show. We're approaching, believe it or not, I'm open to ideas. Anybody out there that'd like to give me one for how we celebrate the 100th guest on the Rusty Satellite Show, it'll be about, I think Corky was number 92 or so. So most interesting people in the Ville. So I've been wearing my T-shirt around town, getting a lot of comments on that. I invite you to get in touch with me and you know, I might get you a T-shirt. They're fun to wear, and I've got a few. We're working on some big projects in the future for the Rusty Satellite Show, so I invite you to stay tuned. And, of course, as always, listen to our other shows here on Louisville.am. Just sort of there's something every day. This is a really great new way of absorbing news or listening to things. You can put it on your phone, download on your phone. You know that if you're listening, but please spread the word to your friends. Anyway, that's it for this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. I hope you'll download again next week when I'll be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.